So we thank God for another good morning. God has given us to listen to his word. And we praise him for the grace, for the new week, and for the strength in all of this. You know, as we continue to reflect on the word, and we're in Ephesians chapter 3, we're able to see this prayer of Paul. And one of the things that we say that when Paul prayed this prayer, we can see so much that he expresses about the church, about who we are in the body of Christ, and how Christ has died with us, he has buried with us, he ascended, he resurrected with us, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father with us. And he keeps trying to show them the mystery of how the Gentiles and the Jews are united together in one man, in the perfect man, of which we are the body and Christ is our head. And this is a unity that we have in the Spirit. And this really is a mystery that was hidden from times of ages, that indeed Gentiles too will be partakers of the commonwealth of Israel. And thus he makes this prayer, Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might in through the Spirit, through his Spirit in the inner man. And we're able to see that, one, we are members of the family of God, and every member of the family of God comes from God. Remember, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, and so everything that is created, you know, the earth was formless and void, and, you know, it was, the face of the earth was covered by the sea, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, and God said, let there be light. And so you see, in the midst of that chaos, where there was formlessness and void and covered by the water, then God says, and when the Spirit moves, then he says, let there be light. So we can see that God is involved in creation. God is the Father of everything in heaven and on earth. And we too are named after him. We are given his name. We are given his nature. We are given his authority. And that's why he said, let us make man in our image and likeness, and let them have dominion. Them, in plural, let the man have dominion, because that is what God prepared. And you see, God did not want to create robots, because you see, if you make a robot, then the robot is just programmed to, you know, to love you, or programmed to do certain things, and there is no free will to a robot. But you see, God made man with free will, and that free will such that when he chooses to love God, he has loved God in spite of the presence of sin. That means that when you love God, you know that you have forsaken many things. You have forsaken others. You've forsaken other things that will be distractions, and you have focused your love on God. And thus, when you do that, then God knows that you truly love him. And remember how he tells Abraham, when Abraham agrees to sacrifice his own son Isaac, he says, now I know that you will not deny me anything. So it's like God knew, but he also wanted to confirm, and the test came to confirm. So the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. We are named after God. It is God who names us. He calls us his family. Remember, in heaven, there are also other creatures. They are living creatures. They are elders. They are angels. They are beings that we might not even understand for our time now. But all those are named by the Father. And likewise, too, on the earth, we have, we ourselves, we have creatures, we have things in the sea, those that we might not even know. You know, there are things that we are still being discovered now. But you see, the Bible tells us that everyone is named from the family. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. And Paul makes a prayer that God will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. And this might, we say, it is dunamis. Potential power, explosive power. This is the miraculous power, that you might be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Remember when he told his disciples, ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That means that there is a power that is needed to go to the ends of the earth. There is a power of the Holy Spirit. There is a dunamis, and this power is given through His Spirit. And that's why He says that you may be strengthened in the inner man with power by the Spirit of God. And this power is necessary because, remember, we are not only just physical beings, but we also have an inner man. There is a man within you. There is a man of the Spirit that is within each and every person, that in the unbeliever, this inner man is dead. And this is the part that when we sin, we fall short of the glory of God. But you see, when we come to Christ, we are made new creation. Our inner man is made alive, and we receive the infusion of the Spirit of God to make us alive. So when that happens, verse 17, the Bible says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And this is the sound of the things that we mentioned, that when we come to understanding how Christ dwells in us, He dwells in our hearts by faith. This means faith goes beyond just the emotions. Remember, because at times many people go through emotions. They feel like, oh no, I feel God. Oh, I don't feel God. But you see, there are times when you have to know that Christ dwells in your heart by faith through what God has said in His Word. What has God said? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more you fill your heart with the Word of God, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to His Word. How He tells Joshua, this book of the law, do not let it depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to obey everything that is written in it. And He tells him to be strong and courageous. So there is something that the Word does. The Word, when we hear the Word, when we read the Word, when we meditate on the Word, then that Word has the potential to make faith arise in us. So as you read and listen to the Word of God, then what happens is faith. Faith is infused. You know, when you see miracles, when you see the power of God manifested, then that something in you rises up, and you know that Christ is dwelling in your hearts by faith. That means you can be filled with the fullness of God, and that's why the Bible says that you being rooted and grounded in love. Remember, love, God is love, and agape is the love of God. And for us, we need to be rooted and grounded in love. When you are rooted, then that means you cannot be shaken. Then that means you are deep in the love of God, that you draw your nutrients from the God Himself. You are rooted and grounded. That means you cannot be shaken. You are able to grow. You are able to draw nutrients from the ground, and you are able to be established as a fruit, or as a tree that bears much fruit. Anything that we need to build in the kingdom of God is built by love. By love and by grace. What is love? Love is that action that chooses one over another. And this is what God did. He says God demonstrates His love for us, that while we were yet sinners, He sent His Son to die for us. And you see, when you are rooted and grounded in love, then that means you know that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Be it hardship, be it angels, be it demons, be it trouble, be it things present, be it things to come, nothing has the capacity or the ability to separate us from the love of God. And the only thing that will take us out is when we take ourselves out of the coverage of Christ, out of the blessings of Christ. That is when we are liable to attacks, we are liable by our own thoughts, we are liable, you know, because we are doing things on our own ability. But when you are rooted and grounded in love, verse 18 tells us that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. That means you can understand, and not just you alone. God desires that every believer understands. And He says, what is the length? What is the width? What is the length? What is the depth? What is the height? You know, these are dimensions of the love of God. It is so wide, it is so, long, it is so deep, it is so high. That means he's trying to say that you cannot, you cannot cover it, you cannot estimate it, it goes beyond our understanding that a loving God, an all-powerful God, will choose to call us his family, will choose to call us his own, will send his own son in the likeness of a man. He'll humble himself as a man, appear for us, show us the way, and then beyond that, he dies for us. Now, this is the things that we need to be able to comprehend and to know the love of Christ, verse 19, which passes knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, when you know the love of God and the love of Christ, then it goes beyond just mere knowledge or mere experience. This is a love that draws you, is a love that finds you. And Jesus speaks of the shepherd who leaves the 99 to go and just find the one. This is the love that is able to chase you, able to find you, able to seek you, even when you're lost in the house, like the lost coin that is lost in the house. There is still a zeal of God that is able to seek for us. And I want us to just, maybe if you look at how, Amplified puts it, it says that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being and to all the fullness of God, that you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. That means in our equation with God, as we seek God, God is saying that each and every one of us, by faith, you can be filled with the richest measure of the divine presence, with the fullness of God. You can come unto the fullness. Many times we work with God only at an ankle level. You can think of when the prophet is told, go to the water, to the river, and he enters the water, and the water just reaches his ankle. Then he goes further, it reaches his knees. He goes further, it reaches his, his waist. Then he goes further, it reaches his chest. And then it says, after that, the waters become enough for one to swim in. So when we come to God, there is always a fullness, and God only takes the space that you allow him. It's like when you think of like a vacuum, when you remove air from a vacuum, that structure that had that air that becomes a vacuum collapses. But you see, when you add matter, when you return the air, then that balloon or that structure is able to expand, is able to go. And now God is saying that there is a way that when you are filled by the word of God, by faith, when you stay in the word of God, when you're rooted and grounded in love, when your character, when your inner man is grounded in love and in action, in how you treat others, those that don't deserve it, in your forgiveness, in your living right, when you start to live along these lines, then the Bible says, and when you're rooted and grounded in love, then you can be filled with all the fullness of God, and you can receive the richest measure of the divine presence. We always say that whenever certain men of God enter a place, you can think of Benihin, whenever he enters a place, he moves with his angels, and people say that the atmosphere has shifted. He can be in the same presence. Why? Because he has cultivated the presence of God and is filled with the richest measure. That means that everywhere you are, that means the presence of God is with you. You carry it. So there are levels to this, and this level, each and every level, is based on your yieldedness. It's based on your submission to God. It's based on how much you allow God the space to occupy. And when we give him all our hearts, everything of our bodies, when we submit ourselves to his lordship, to his guidance, the Bible tells us that you can be filled with the richest measure of the divine presence, and you can become a body that is wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Remember, Jesus comes from the Father full of glory, full of grace and truth, that he is the exact image of the Father. You know, he is the exact representation. He's filled with God. And we too can be filled with God, with the richest measure of the divine presence. And we can become a body that is holy, filled and flooded with God. And that speaks of the fullness of God. That when you have experienced God, the love of God, beyond just knowledge, but now you've experienced him through experience. When you know him, and when you meditate on that word of God, on what God has done, on how he loves you, then you start being filled. It's just like when you're preparing to either do preaching or something like that. As you start to pray, then there's that fullness that starts to be filled. You start being filled until it gets to a point where you know that you are fully filled. You are filled with the richest measure of the divine presence. That is a place that God wants us not just to come to occasionally when we have things to do, but also to live in that realm, to stay and be established in that realm where constantly we have cultivated the presence of God, and by them we are filled and flooded with God himself. This person that is filled and flooded with God is the one that goes out to cast out devils, is the one that is able to heal the sick, is the one that is able to do mighty miracles. Why? Because it is no longer him that liveth. You know, but it is Christ that lives through them. Remember, Paul is speaking to a mature church. He's speaking to a church before he leaves. He's telling them that, look here, I want you to be fully filled with God, fully filled with the divine presence of God. Not that men will worship you, but such that you can function with the authority of God. You can function in the love of God. You can correct things that are wrong, things that the enemy has planted in your circumstances or in your situation. You have the capacity within you to stand in that gap and to make a difference and to be the difference that is required. And then he says, verse 20, and this is very important, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now here he speaks of the kind of what we call the prayer of the thoughts, or the seat of where are we meditating from? Where are we thinking from? Where are our thoughts? Because you see, God is trying to say that even your own imagination, even your own thoughts can become places of contact or places of prayer. Because God is the one who judges the attitudes and hearts of each and every man. He knows that the heart is deceptive. And the heart of man is deceptive and beyond cure. Who can cure it? He knows that when these thoughts of ours are allowed to run amok, then we can find ourselves lost. We can find ourselves speaking of things we should not be speaking, thinking of things we should not be thinking. When you think of why people are depressed or when people go through suicide, it is because of a thought. They have lost the battle in their mind. The demons or the devil starts to whisper to them that they are defeated. They cannot make it. The things are crashing, you know, that it's not going to work. And such thoughts have the capacity to cripple them. But you see, when you understand what God has done, when you understand that nothing separates you from his love, when you understand that he has given you this ability, that he is ready to even do that which you ask or think or imagine. That means even at the level of our thinking, it is a prayer. It is prayer at the level of thoughts. That means thoughts are as important to God as actions. And that is why we must constantly ask God to shield our minds from negative thoughts. You know, there are thoughts that there are things that you hear from someone and they influence your direction, they influence your actions, and you start reasoning along that side. And that's why it's the ears and our thoughts are very important gates that we must guard, because you watch something or you hear something And when you hear it, it casts a shadow of doubt over you. You start to see how useless things are, how useless the situation is, how things are never changing. This is how it has always been. Because why? There is thoughts that are being intruded, intrusive thoughts that are entering your mind. But you see, when you understand the consecration of your thoughts, that even in the place of prayer, even when you're doing something else, even when you're thinking in the workplace, then as you think, then you allow God to fill in your thoughts with his thoughts. That is the renewal of the mind, not conforming to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewal of the mind. We allow God to transform us, that even no thoughts that we know, these are thoughts of the enemy, they are not allowed us. And that's what the Bible says, whatsoever things are beautiful, whatsoever things are wonderful, whatsoever things are trustworthy, are of good character, that all these things that are, you know, things that are good, Philippians chapter 4, think about such things. So God is saying that he's able to meet us at our level of our thoughts. He's able to answer us at our level of our prayers. Why? Because he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That means you must tell God, God, this is what I can think, but what can you think for me? What is the greatest thoughts that God has for us? And he says his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways. As they are higher as the heavens and the earth, so are his ways and his thoughts higher than ours. So when we let God guide our steps, when we let God show us the way, then we are able to be established, we are able to understand who he is. Remember, you're walking in the fullness, you're filled with the presence of God, the richest measure of the divine presence. Then now your thoughts become his thoughts, your words become his words. And then that's why God says now it gets to the place where he's able to do even beyond exceedingly and abundantly. I pray that God will give us more insight into this, even as we reflect, because this is the place of the church. This is the authority of the church. These are the blessings of the church that God has prepared for the saints. May his name be praised. I will stop you. You're welcome, my brother.
Thank you, Dr. Emmanuel. No additions from my side.
Okay, thank you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We give you glory. We honor you. Thank you for such prayers. Thank you that, Lord, you've called us to be strengthened with power in the inner man, that, Lord, we might be able to comprehend your love, to know your grace, your mercy, that you desire that we walk in the fullness of God, to be rooted and grounded in love, that we may have the richest measure of the divine presence, the divine presence, the divine presence of God, that each and every moment that we might be able to do and accomplish that which you want us to do. Whenever we face trouble, that indeed we are able to fight it. Whenever we need you, we can feel your presence. And indeed we know we have been challenged, that indeed even at our thoughts, even in our what we ask, oh God, you are more than able. You are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power. And you say that this power is within us. This is the power of the Holy Spirit that is within us, within the church, that is able to establish us, is able to guide us, is able to direct our steps, oh God. I remember our family members, be with them, oh God. Watch over our children, watch over our spouse, watch over everything that concerns us, oh God. We commit the various churches that are meeting in various places, that your hand shall be with them. We pray for those that are unwell. We speak a word of healing, touch and deliver, oh God. We commit our hands, oh God, even as we go about to do the various work, that, Lord, your presence shall go ahead of us, grant us wisdom, grant us direction, and grant us your favor. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. 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 Shalom. Blessed, blessed day.